Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
It's Kyle O'Reilly.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff Jarrett.
I'm Rocky Asuka Romero.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk, home of Lou Gowen.
Support WrestleTalk.
Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Lou Gowen is, quote the Raven, nevermore.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
But you really should support WrestleTalk and you should follow them and subscribe right now.
Ollie told me to say this, so I guess it's okay.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Make sure you watch and listen to WrestleTalk.
Or better yet, take just a moment, stop what you're doing, and bask in their glory.
Do us all a favor and subscribe.
Congratulations, you got here. Now subscribe and support. Thanks.
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble podcast. I am Ollie Davis, and I'm joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, Swap Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. How the devil are you?
I'm very well. I'm very well. I think I might have been doing podcasting wrong my entire life. So we used to have headsets.
Yes.
And, you know, the audio quality was what it was. I think a lot. And then we got the new microphones.
Yes.
And that got worse.
Yes.
So we got these little socks, these little fluffy socks for the ends of the microphones.
Yes.
And I just assumed that fixed everything.
No.
So now I had to do a voiceover yesterday where I said Downtown Abbey rather than Downton Abbey, which made me realise I've actually been calling it the wrong name its entire life, which was embarrassing. But listening to me back, I was getting the plosives.
When you were saying VIP.
Yeah. I'm too close to the microphone, I think.
Well, this is why we've often had some audio issues anyway, where you are louder than I am because you are essentially talking into your mic like this.
Yes, for podcast listeners, Luke was licking the mic. So I should be, I mean, what's that? A finger width?
Yeah, you're meant to be...
No, a finger length, rather.
I think you're meant to be that far apart. I mean, I'm actually much closer to the microphone than I think I'm supposed to be.
That far? So that's the little finger extended to your thumb extended.
But I think I might be basing that solely on the King's Speech.
The King's Speech?
That movie.
Yeah, that set in 1935 or whatever.
That's the one.
Or 1939, because it was when he, you know...
Yeah.
Because of the big old... It was Hitler again, ruining everything. But I imagine audio equipment's gotten better, I would like to think, in the 70, 80 years since. So I should be able to be really close to the microphone. If you can't hear at home, I've just moved right close to it. So I'm going to try and be back here a bit.
I don't think we're going to get this right because we don't have headsets on to hear how we sound. And the reason why I have been against headsets is because I think visually it looks terrible.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's why we have a producer in-house who is wearing headphones so they can check the levels and adjust them accordingly.
And tell us that mics aren't on.
Yes. And, you know, doesn't always happen. But I think over the last couple of weeks, the levels have been more leveled out.
That's good. Yeah, so I'm going to... You know, you said that you should be this far away and you extended your little finger and thumb. Someone used to tell me that's how big a penis should be. You know, like that's... You know, like all the body proportions.
Yeah.
They said that's how big your penis should be. And I was, you know, I was at school... We were school kids. And I was like, that is way off. I was terrified. Because I think that everyone said it was the index finger and the thumb, the distance between there, which I was still struggling with. And then this guy was like, well, mine's that big.
Mm.
Which is, I'm essentially doing the Samoa Joe.
Yeah, you can taunt. Stretch your little finger out. That's as far as my little finger goes.
So I only found out I'm double jointed on my little finger
that makes
over
so
the weekend.
That makes so much more sense because your finger was practically touching your wrist.
Yeah, so I can't remember what I was doing. I was just like moving my little finger independently of the other fingers.
Mm.
And my lady partner, we've been together 7 years, said, you can make the tip of your little finger touch your palm. I was like, yeah, can't everyone? And she was like, she couldn't. And apparently it's quite rare. So you can do it too.
I could touch the finger of my palm. I would say what you've got that's unique, though, is you can move your little finger. Because like one of the things is that when you move your little finger, it moves your third finger at the same time. Like,
but you
you can move yours without.
Yes. I recently mastered doing that with my little toe as well. I was so
bored.
You can
move your little toe.
Yeah. Well, this was after 3 days of trying. And, crucially, The Hateful Eight. That's a 3-hour-long movie.
Mm-hmm.
I was bored. And I started to just focus in on my little toe, completely immobile before the movie started. And then I could wiggle it by the end. And now I can stretch it all the way out.
Wiggle your big toe. That's from Kill Bill.
Yeah, another Tarantino. God, I was sucked into Tarantino's foot fetish and I didn't even know it.
It's exactly it. I'm just glad that people are finally starting to get on board with my... Tarantino's a bit overrated though, don't you think? He's gotten a little bit up his own ass in the last 20 years.
So if you're confused as to what the moral of this story is, Luke was right.
Once again, it's about time we all got aboard that train. Speaking of being at school, the conversation we were having yesterday, this comes in from Ali, or just Ali maybe, who says, hi there, Luke, Ollie, Laurie, Chopper Pete, housemate Simon, and Randy. Having listened to your discussion on Tuesday about schools and people from being on TV, I thought I'd weigh in with an anecdote that includes both of these topics. For context, I am 16, having just completed my GCSEs.
This is perfect. This is exactly the age group we wanted.
And I left the school where the story takes place in the middle of June. My school, and more specifically my year group, had a Channel 4 documentary made about it.
Wow.
It focused around, so you can probably guess what the TV show is. Yes. Based on this following sentence. It was focused on a millionaire who was coming to the school as a secret teacher and realizing the difficulty that schools and teachers have in maintaining standards, both in terms of students' education and stopping the slow disintegration of the facilities and the buildings.
Mm.
The secret millionaire.
Yes.
Yes.
Stephanie McMahon was kind of undercover boss.
Is another one, yeah.
It's the same format, really.
Yeah. Having the cameras in the school was a slightly surreal experience, especially when you watched conversations being staged and restaged in your English lesson between the head teacher and the millionaire. Also, the secrecy of the teacher wasn't well maintained, as a student recognised him, and it had soon spread to the whole school who he really was. Regardless, it was a fun experience seeing myself and my friends in the background of shots, and, because we were all in it together, no one was bullied. The show came out in August, and I believe it's still on Channel 4's on-demand service. Now, on to the question of whether teenagers are still awful towards one another in school. Like Ollie, I went to an all-boys state school, so I'm well placed to serve as a direct comparison to his experiences from school. While the atmosphere around the school was still very ladsy, puts that in quotation marks, the vast majority of the time it wasn't toxic. Of course, jokes were thrown around at another's expense, but most of the times they were light-hearted, and only very occasionally did they go too far. Much more of our efforts were put into taking the mick out of teachers, which, whilst isn't advisable, it did bring the students together against a common factor, which meant we were less inclined to go after one another. Gay slurs and gay jokes are still while still around during my time, were far less at the forefront of insults compared to how you guys described them. Furthermore, if it did turn out one of the kids was gay, people didn't have too much trouble. Overall, I very much enjoyed my time at school, much like I enjoy your consistent content. Segway, keep up the good work. From Ali, P.S., as a fellow Reading person, I very much enjoy and agree with Luke's occasional complaints about our local bus routes. That's what I like to hear.
Well, that's interesting to know. That we're that society has kind of progressed from our days.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice.
It is nice. So I'm going to read out a Blake Ham email.
You sure you want to do this? I mean, we've got to get on with the show.
Well, Blake Ham emailed us.
Oh, you piece of crap, Blake Ham! better not be depressing, otherwise I'm going to feel very bad.
Can the newest member of the Swaff Nation, the heir to the throne, at least get a shout out? And he sent us a picture of his newborn baby. There he is, the handsome devil that he is. And there he is with his beautiful family.
Oh, God damn it, Blake Ham, with your perfect daughters and their lovely blue bows.
So, yeah, so Blake Ham, there you go. You can get a shout out for that one, I suppose. Maybe we'll have time to get to your other email. But
No, don't congratulate him. Do not congratulate him. He has just pulled the lowest trick in the book. He's exploited our niceness.
It did. He made me feel very bad. When he sent me that email, I felt very guilty that I'd not read out his other emails, even though he's in on the joke. And and I think it's a very funny joke.
Yeah, yeah. That is manipulation at its finest. He's broken you. Blake Ham, I do not recognize that email. And you know,
if
I had seen it, I'm very happy for you. Congratulations. But I didn't. And you're still a piece of crap.
Anyway, let's crack on into the show itself. We have got some very big emails to get into in the outro portion of the podcast regarding tomorrow's NXT.
Ooh.
So we'll get into those.
Tasty.
We'll get into those very shortly. But for now, we're going to be talking about Shane McMahon and whether or not he is going to be leaving the WWE. Here is the show.
So what happened? We had Shinsuke Nakamura versus Ali. And it didn't get started. It was just like an ambush on Ali. Sami Zayn held his leg and Kinshasa, right? Mm. So then you got Sami Zayn in the ring. And then the camera cuts to the crowd. And there's Kevin Owens walking through the audience. Everyone's like going, woo, yay, Kevin Owens is here. Of course, he was fired last week. I'm just thinking, oh my God, Sami and Kevin Owens are going to get together.
I was waiting for Sami to say something. And then he didn't. Kevin just sat in his seat like they'd never met each other before.
Yeah, it was so weird. Like, that was the first thing wrong with this. That's right. Although I think we both enjoyed the episode overall.
I thought it was a very, very good episode of SmackDown.
We're unfortunately starting off with a whole load of nitpicks because this Kevin Owens storyline probably reached its crappy climax last week and how bad it's gotten. But this is just a fart of a follow-up.
Yeah, the lead-up to SummerSlam wasn't particularly brilliant. And then I think we all enjoyed the SummerSlam match.
Oh,
I was very sports entertained by the SummerSlam match. But then it has just fallen down further and further and further as this has gone on. We've gone through a whole pay-per-view cycle. We're past that pay-per-view cycle. And it just appears to be getting worse and worse with each passing week.
Yeah, so Kevin Owens is shown in the crowd. And then it cuts backstage to Shane McMahon. He's watching the TV screen of Kevin Owens arriving. Which, you know, again, poses questions about what is on what screen. Because if he's watching SmackDown, mm-hmm. shouldn't he be watching himself in a form of infinite regressive screens?
Yeah, that's very true, yeah.
But he's not. He's watching. So he just has a TV with a feed of the crap.
I feel like we're going to fall into a rabbit hole.
I'm nitpicking too much.
Yes.
I'm going to bring it back.
Because let's celebrate the brilliance of Nicholas's dad walking in and saying, like, Shane, there is someone here to see you. And Kevin Owens is here.
Yeah.
Which really made me laugh because then Shane was like, I can see that.
Hmm.
I thought it was actually a very nice bit of some nice comedy between the two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
I need to give a positive.
Someone comes in and serves Shane with legal papers.
He got served.
Last week, and not in the fun dance-off variety. Yeah. Last week, we nightmare booked that where they would take.
Oh, that's the new series.
Yeah. Nightmare how they can screw this up. Nightmare booking the fiend. We said where they could take this whole Kevin Owens, Shane McMahon thing. The most WWE thing to do would be to have Kevin Owens, someone who just about 5 weeks ago was this super hot, stone cold style babyface, fighting against the boss, not caring, shoot promos. He was just a beer swig away from going full-on Attitude Era, really.
100%.
And a chair shot to the head, maybe, of someone.
Yeah.
And standing tall at the end of every show with your music playing, regardless of what else happened.
And a lady in their underwear.
And we said the worst thing they could possibly do is take that McMahon route of make this all about the legal proceedings.
So what happened in the segment?
They made it all about the legal proceedings.
Yeah, so Shane comes out and he's got security with him. Owens is falling asleep in his chair. But Shane instantly just invites him down to the ring and says, we're not going to get into a scuffle. The security can get themselves out of the ring. And then he says, you have given me the largest wrongful termination lawsuit. It is worth $25 million. The case is weak. I've got amazing lawyers. Blah, de, blah, de, blah. And I was like, this is really boring.
Mm.
I couldn't care less about this.
So I think, and this has been symptomatic of a lot of McMahon things. The McMahons are a very, very sheltered family who live in a bubble. And their entire life, especially Shane McMahon and Stephanie McMahon, I imagine, has been based around this very corporate lifestyle. Vince works 20-hour days, resents the fact he has to sleep. And everything is lawyers, business practices, all of that.
Let's not forget that on the SmackDown after 9/11, when Stephanie was asked on her feelings of 9/11, she compared it to the government going after Vince McMahon and the steroid trial.
Yeah, so that's like...
That's the bubble.
Yeah, and it's a very elite bubble that 0.0000001 of the world relate to, really.
Yeah.
And... They've got this habit of going down the legal route as if it's something that the general wrestling audience care about, especially if they're trying to make a show for kids, like they sometimes say. What kid is going to be interested in a wrongful termination lawsuit and the intricacies of how it's worded and brought to the plaintiff?
I don't know.
Yeah. And you could they've done this in the past. Sometimes it works. I quite enjoyed the vote of no confidence against Triple H. The fact that they say COO or commissioner, general manager. It's just like there's so much business nonsense when really it should just be about I'm a wrestler, I don't like you, or I'm a wrestler, you've got the title. That's really it.
Yeah.
I'm a wrestler, you've got my mum and she's on a pole. That's it.
Yeah.
Those are the three classic structures to a wrestling feud. And here they've made it, about an H. What? Look, what can be more boring than HR? That's what this is.
And listen, I'm a huge fan of Law and Order. I love me some Law and Order.
Dun, dun.
And I particularly enjoy Law and Order when it gets to the law aspect of it. Because I'm watching a cop show. I'm watching Law and Order. But I don't tune into my wrestling show thinking, God, I hope this is like Law and Order this week. Because I don't really want it to be like Law and Order. I want to watch Law and Order for that. I want to watch my wrestling show for my wrestling. And it's just, it's been week after week after week of just chipping away at Owen's popularity. There was a moment earlier in the show. It was after Brock Lesnar came back.
That was big.
That was big. And they showed a recap of Owens getting fired from last week. And I thought, God, that feels so unimportant.
Mm.
Like, on this show, he's now... Kevin Owens has taken the Kofi Kingston spot of being the third most important thing on this show. And even then, I think it almost feels like lower than that. I honestly, it's probably the most boring story in WWE. Well, now that Fire and Desire versus Ember Moon is done and dusted, this is now the new boring story in WWE. Even, at least with Lacey Evans and Natalya, Lacey did Natty's move.
And the matches are quite
good. There's a modicum of interest there. But this is a storyline that's just been booked out of order. Kevin Owens won. He's already beaten him. And so someone messaged me last week calling us idiots because, God, the storyline makes so much sense. And because we said, I said in my review that I thought the fine stuff had been sorted out because Owens apologized to Shane McMahon. But the guy said to me, no, Shane said he would only consider removing the fine if Owens apologized. So I was like, that's actually worse. That means Owens believed him, then fell for it, and then agreed to help him again the following week. That's way worse. And it's just getting worse and worse and worse.
Yeah, after SummerSlam, after that match, Owens looked like a legit badass, and I couldn't wait for the next thing he was going to do. And then systematically, over the following weeks, they've made him more and more lame. Stone Cold would never have done any of this. And you've got to a point where you've got a wrestler who has, like, I want to see, you know, fulfill the fantasy of beating up the boss. That's what this is all about, really. But Kevin Owens isn't beating up the boss. He's not badass. He's going the legal route.
And he's complaining because you're taking money away from me.
So, Let's, and you know, he brought up the whole $100,000 fine about his family. This is my life's work. You tried to take it away from me. Like, Kevin Owens, you're a great promo. You're saying this with loads of passion. I don't care. This is how badly you've been booked. Yesterday you said, like there was a question, a super chat. What wrestler would you always be into no matter how bad their booking got? I said Kevin Owens. And I'm still into Kevin Owens as a person. Love him. But this is... It can't get much worse.
Yeah, I'm going to hit you where it hurts the most, Shane. Your wallet.
Oh.
I've got a legitimate case. It's not just about the money. And then he said, there's a clause in this contract where if I win, I'm going to guess the court case, if he wins the court case, he gets to fire Shane McMahon in the ring. I don't know if that's going to hold up in court. I don't know how you could win a court case for wrongful termination and then get to terminate your boss by winning that court case.
Yeah. The $25 million is quite enough probably there. This does not have to be about the legal procedure. It could be like, you know, someone above Shane. I don't want to get into more authority figures, but just have Owens come back and say... say you're not a real man, goad him into accepting a match, and then you trick him. You make Shane look stupid and say, you've signed that now, and if you lose, you're gone.
You're out of line, yeah.
Yeah. And like, just do it that way. And I'm actually like, okay, Kevin Owens was smarter. He made Shane McMahon look stupid, which is one of the huge problems with Shane's character. Vince was made to look stupid twice a show, really, back in the Attitude Era. Shane is always obnoxiously tall and standing over everyone else. So, yeah, the one benefit of this is that it seems to be going towards Shane leaving, which is where I think they're going. They could have gone this route at SummerSlam. I thought Shane was going to put his career on the line as well, but it was only Owens. And now you've got the reverse of that, where it's only Shane's career seemingly on the line, although I don't know how you get a match out of this, because currently... Are we just going to cut from Hell in a Cell to a courtroom and then they do opening statements?
Chong chong. That's how we transition into each part of this. I've kind of said from probably since WrestleMania, I felt that we were building to Shane. I thought it was going to be Shane versus Roman at Survivor Series. Team Shane versus Team Roman with Shane's career on the line. And then it moved into Kevin Owens. I was like, okay, cool. So it's Team Owens versus Team Shane with Shane's career on the line. It still feels like that's the direction we're heading in. At least I hope so. I don't want this to end in a court case and then Owens just says, and now you're gone. At least end this wrestling storyline with a wrestling match.
I want this to be wrapped up like before this even moves to Fox. I hope Owens gets to say next week, or the week after, whatever it is,
well, maybe
you're fired. And then the Fox show is just a new start.
I was going to say, maybe you do all the court case stuff next week, because the court case system is very quickly. Look, the CM Punk...
Famously.
The CM Punk Dr. Amand trial wrapped up like that, like so, so quickly.
Yeah.
You do all of the court case stuff next week, and then Owens wins and announces, I'm going to fire Shane McMahon on the first episode of SmackDown on Fox. Use that as a bit of a ratings draw.
Yeah, that's nice. But yeah, well, hopefully, as bad as this storyline is, hopefully it will see the end of Shane. I don't see Shane getting good. This isn't a Baron Corbin scenario where if you put Shane in the mid-card slot, he's suddenly going to become a better wrestler and a better promo. He's not a good promo. He's a terrible wrestler. I don't like seeing him throwing himself around so much anymore and doing these death-defying stunts. He's got go-away heat, and he has done for a while for me.
Yeah, this heel turn did not do him any favours, but his babyface run wasn't much better towards the end.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
But thank you to our wonderful pledge hammers on Patreon of $25 a month or more who are going to get a cheap pop right now. Thank you, Arnie K. The K stands for the coolest dude ever.
Yes. He is cool. Yeah. He is cool. JJ, not the jet plane.
Yes. Don't know when I'll be back again.
Alex, the Rojas Johnson.
Rojas.
Alex, the Rojas Johnson.
Marcus,
yes.
He's got Sol Campbell. Sol Campbell.
Sol Campbell. Yeah. He's got Sol. He's not a soldier. Tyler Sandbo, selector.
Yes.
Don't have a Shane Cowley, man.
Nice. Early Simpsons jokes.
Ooh. Roman Maleva.
Whoa. Yeah, yes. Nice. Yeah. The Titan, Owen Towers.
Whoa. Yes.
The real boss, Matt Robinson.
He is.
I'm going to clap like this. Just incredible, Edel Heat.
Nice. Whoa. Yeah. Cho Ninja.
Yes.
Salutations, Josh Salome.
Woohoo, yeah. The jester, Ryan Kester.
Whoa. Speaking of, Bailey Sting fan number two.
Whoa.
Ooh, yes. And finally, Joseph, up the Chrysante.
Up the Chrysante.
Up the Chrysante. Our first question comes in from Joseph Gonzalez, who says, Law and Order, WWE.
That could be the next pay-per-view. Or a tag team. Law and Order.
We sort of had that with the Fashion Police, didn't we? Yeah. Rex Joseph Calmerin says, Shane versus Owen, lawsuit on a pole match.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite similar to a contract, isn't it? So, yeah, I guess so. They could, or just a ladder match. Owens on a ladder.
And Shane should be used to that. That's what they were doing with the Austin storyline back in 99 when they were sort of firing Austin, but Linda McMahon made him the COO or the CEO of the company. And they had a couple of good weeks of him being the CEO of the company, putting horse manure into Vince's office. Legit, yeah. Vince's office as well, because it's the one from Beyond the Mat. So he definitely did. And that led to the ladder match at King of the Ring, where the fate of the company was on the line. It was Austin versus the McMahons in a handicap ladder match. So Shane, you know, he's used to this sort of thing.
There's precedent. Legal precedent.
Will Hates comes in to drop his weekly airplane reference, saying, Shane McMahon leaving WWE. Looks like I picked the wrong week to quit sniffing glue.
Very good. Keep those coming.
Edel Chambers says, RKO and Sammy being buried because of the Saudi no-shows.
But they're not being buried. Yeah, like they were
featured.
Getting a big push after that. It's a weird delayed burial if it happens 4 months after the fact. I don't know. And they're both signed for a long time, it feels. Mm-hmm. So I don't know.
Timothy Beattie says, my six-year-old loved the Owens McMahon segments.
Really?
Started to look up employer laws rights right after it. Then asked me, are they going to show the court procedures on pay-per-view? One can only hope they do.
So it's a joke comment.
Yes.
That's good. I was actually quite worried. Are kids into it? I mean, I'm not a six-year-old anymore. Maybe that's what the kids are into these days.
Kids are into iPhones and court cases.
Yeah, it's changed. Like, yeah, the iPhones, smartphones, it's changed kids.
Changed everything. Yeah. And lastly for now, Trenton Brown says, Becky, Kofi, and now Owens. Moral of the story, WWE can't book an organically over babyface to save their lives.
No.
So we have got one other one as well from Mr. A, or M.A. Campbell, rather. Will this lead to Team Shane versus Team Owens? I'm assuming it's Survivor Series. That's where I thought it was heading.
I don't think so. I don't see.
But I'm hoping it wraps up before then. Yeah. It seems... I've always thought Survivor Series felt like a logical conclusion to this, like a logical place to end this. Mm-hmm. But it appears that SmackDown in particular are not building to Hell in a Cell. They're building to the Fox debut. That's their pay-per-view.
To be fair, that's the right move, though.
I wasn't saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying, like, while Raw is like, we're setting up all these matches for Hell in a Cell, SmackDown's like, we'll get there eventually. But first, we've really got to build this show.
Because the first bit, well, initially I was like, huh, I thought this feud was over. It was Kofi Kingston, it was the New Day, with a very happy Biggie and Xavier Woods.
Yep.
Despite losing their tag titles two nights prior, which I don't so much mind, because they are about the power of positivity, but I would like them to be a little bit more serious sometimes.
Yeah, I was going to say, they did not seem that upset that they lost their titles at all.
And then they were going up against Randy Orton and The Revival.
Legacy
in
2.0.
In a six-man tag. Yeah, Legacy 2.0. And I was like, oh, it's a shame this feud's still going on. Nobody wants to see Kofi versus Orton anymore. Those matches are so boring. And you standard six-man tag, it was actually, always quite good six-man tags in WWE with these people.
To slightly disagree, I thought this was really good. Yeah. I very much enjoyed this because it was given time. It went like 25 minutes or so. It went through two commercial breaks, including one of the shrink screen ones. I think in total it went about 25 minutes.
Yeah.
To be honest, I figured Vince McMahon had thrown out the script again. And film for 25 minutes, will you?
So Xavier was worked over for the majority. Kofi got a hot tag. Everything goes crazy. Six-man schmoz. There was a really nice reversal from Orton. Kofi was going to do a dive on everyone outside. But Orton kind of caught him in a headlock, swung him round, and got a draping DDT.
It was really nice.
It was smooth as well. Yeah. Like, that's a very clunky thing, but it worked very well.
Yeah.
Anyway, the New Day countered the Shatter Machine RKO combo. Kofi hits the Trouble in Paradise on Dash Wilder for the win.
No, it was Dawson.
Dawson. God, I keep on getting those two confused. And then...
Go back to NXT TakeOver London.
Are you Dawson? Are you Dawson? Are you Dawson? Are you Dash? Are you Dash? Brock Lesnar's music hit.
Yeah.
A genuine, awesome surprise. He walks out. He's got a butt fluff beard. This isn't full MMA Brock beard, but hopefully that's where we're going.
I've written, Lesnar is here. We must be going to Fox or something.
Yeah. Paul Heyman's there as well. And it's just like, yes, I was so into this. And it was half, yes, Brock on SmackDown. This feels so fresh for someone who's been very stale this year. And also half, yes, it's not Orton and Kofi again.
Yeah.
The relief was profound.
Yeah, I felt like that six-man kind of put a pin in that Orton-Kofi feud. So, like, that is now over.
Mm.
And the New Day beat the Revival and Orton. We can probably say the team RKO Revival are probably not going to be anymore, despite the fact Revival just got those fancy new jackets and new trunks. But anyway, Lesnar came down with Heyman, and Heyman said that Lesnar is the man who will stand in the way of Kofi's long reign. It's going to be a bad day for the New Day. Yes, it is. Lesnar challenged Kofi to the WWE Championship, not at Hell in a Cell, but for the first episode on Fox in a couple of weeks.
Genius move.
Loved it.
This was the first thing, they've announced there's going to be all these legends on the SmackDown
show. Don't
care
about that.
And we've had that three times already, it feels, over the last year.
Alone.
This was huge.
Yeah.
This is massive. Like, that is, I mean, I'm sure we're all thinking, that's a title change. Lesnar's going to become the champion.
Oh, that's
or
what
Biggie heel turn.
Obviously. Well, that's what I was thinking. And I say this in the review, that one of my favorite things about this is that probably for the first time, in fact, I'm going to say, for the first time since WrestleMania, Kofi's title reign feels in jeopardy. And it has not felt in jeopardy during the Dolph feud, the Owens feud, the Randy feud. I never once thought Randy's going to win the title. But I look at this, I'm like, Brock could win. And I could see them putting the belt on Brock going on to Fox with their more sports-based.
Totally.
And you do
the big star.
You do the big title switch on SmackDown on the first episode, get people talking about it. I think it's definitely something they could do. Or do they swerve us all and have Kofi beat Lesnar and make that a really big deal? And that really put Kofi over, which would be massive. But this is the first time since he's won the title where I thought he could lose this.
Yeah, it's not just the first time. Yeah, not just the first time there's been a threat to his title, like a credible threat. The first time it's been an actual main event feud. Dolph Ziggler, Kevin Owens.
It's all mid-card stuff.
Yeah, even Randy Orton. Like,
well, that's only because it got pushed down below Owens and Shane and Roman.
Felt like the most important thing, but Brock Lesnar and Kofi Kingston. That's huge. And I think that it's quite 100% Brock's taking that title.
Yeah. He grabs Kofi, like, he goes to shake Kofi's hand. And And this is one of the reasons why I love Brock. Quick as a flash, pulls him into an F5 and just hits it. And it was absolutely wicked. It was really, really cool. I am really excited to see that match. I'm so more excited to see Brock versus Kofi than I ever was for Seth versus Brock.
Yes. Yeah. Feels completely rejuvenated because Brock was just stuck in all those Shield matches forever.
Yeah. And then, if The Fiend wins the title at Hell in a Cell, we could be setting up The Fiend versus Brock Lesnar for Survivor Series.
Wow.
Otherwise, we're setting up Brock Lesnar versus Seth Rollins for the third time this year.
Oh, no. This is that will be Brock's first match on SmackDown in over 15 years.
Yeah, since he beat Hardcore Holly in 2004.
It's an absolutely fantastic idea. Great draw for the first show. WWE are bringing back everyone. Harper, Sasha Banks a couple of weeks ago. AOP got that video package.
Yep.
Rusev, it's like all hands on deck because it's like we're going to Fox. NXT's going live. October's 2 weeks away.
Yeah.
It really feels like that. Apparently, the Lesnar return has been planned for quite some time. And Dave Meltzer, best wrestling journalist in the world, one of the best sports journalists in the world. I think we're all past, well, we certainly are past the idea of calling him not very good, because he very clearly is good.
Yeah, unless you're Eric Bischoff.
However, you are only as good as your sources. And either Dave Meltzer's sources have been intentionally feeding him wrong information, or those sources have been fed wrong information themselves because WWE have figured out who they are. This is the second clanger that Meltzer's dropped, because I think it was Friday and someone asked about a Luke Harper return and he went, no way.
It was in the Observer on Thursday that Harper's, Vince is done with him.
And then again, it was just like, do you think Lesnar will come back for the first show on Fox? He was like, no way. Not for a long time. Like, not for a couple of months yet. And then these two things came to pass. So it'd just be interesting to see how Meltzer does going forward.
So Sean Ross Sapp reported that he has had text messages from people in WWE who have said that they have been purposefully feeding wrong information to certain journalists. It's the whole Brad Shepherd thing. Like, Brad Shepherd was purposefully outed by people within WWE as a fraud, because he was making up a lot of reports that were damaging people's relationships backstage, and so they wanted to essentially show the world, oh, by the way, he's a div. So they fed him, they had all of his sources that he had, fed him a load of duff information. He then reported it because he doesn't fact check things, and then came out looking like a goon. And so WWE stars could be like, what a goon, he's a goon, these are goon, don't trust him. And I feel that they've been doing the same with Meltzer, and they did the same with your man from Sport.
Justin Barrasso.
Justin Barrasso. Yeah. Like, all the WrestleMania stuff last year, was it? When he was Cena versus Rey was definitely going to be the match. He was just fed a load of bum information by WWE sources so that they could say, oh, you're not a credible source anymore. Until they want them to be.
And it makes sense now. Like you're approaching one of the biggest times in the wrestling industry for the last two decades, arguably. So you want to run a tight ship. So I think it would be very interesting to see the wrestling news media world, which we're really commentators on. We're not, you know, we're taking other people's news stories
and
commenting on them. To see, it's very fascinating to me to see how that will work going forward, because WWE might just go, and I imagine AEW will go as well, just so you get these surprises. Brock Lesnar, I didn't see that reported anywhere.
No.
That was, and even like stuff that apparently only two people know in the company somehow still gets out on the day of the show.
Yeah.
So yeah, they must be going for actual surprises rather than they're sick of all these leaks.
Well, I think that's very much it. It's the case, I mean, Meltzer has fallen victim to this before, where they have been feeding, Bruce Bridges talked about this on his podcast before, where he said, we started feeding people wrong information to see what would end up in the dirt sheets. Because they're subscribers to it. There is a WWE subscription to the Wrestling Observer. So they would read the sheets, see what got reported, and be like, okay, well, I know now who's leaking stuff to Meltzer.
Exactly.
So now they're doing this to sort of like flush those people out. Difference is, the Meltzer will just go like, okay, well, I just won't trust that source ever again. That source is now done, but I'll just use different sources over here, or I'll find different sources over here.
So there's really on there, it's a Meltzer now to try and find a way around this, or Sean Ross Sapp's going to have to find a way around this. I think like him, Meltzer,
Mike Johnson,
and Peter Insider, they've all got to now sort of like find these sources that they, John Pollock's another one, that they can definitely trust within the industry. Mm. It's a very, very interesting time, but actually I think it's a smart business move. A really, really smart business move.
It's crazy that WWE is so leaky as it is.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't think they've cared.
They've not cared.
They haven't had the competition for 20 odd years, so I don't think they've really cared that much.
So fascinating time, not just for the on-air wrestling products, not just backstage in the companies, but even more niche, the few very good wrestling reporters out there as well.
And then for us.
Yeah. So after that, we got a Sasha Banks and Bayley promo. Sasha said that she's been in a Hell in a Cell match before. Becky hasn't. Mm-hmm. So I imagine that's going to be a huge part of this feud going forward. And hopefully Sasha can win.
Yeah.
But it was like a good boss promo.
Yes.
She gets better every week. Bayley, still, you know, she was never a great babyface promo. And sometimes you switch heel and it's okay. She's just the same level of quality as a heel promo.
Well, this is what I said when she did her first promo after the heel turn, and I was like, I didn't buy into the character that she was selling. And I think that's why. It's the strength of her promos. It's never been her strong suit.
No.
And thankfully, WWE have got an excellent video editing department to then convey that character better.
I tell you who has got great interview skills.
Oh, man. What a career change for this guy, because he's never had decent promos.
But he's never had the chance, to be fair. It's all been very heavily scripted for him. Up is down.
But since these last few weeks, Eric Rowan has really come into his own.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he got a sit-down interview taped earlier in the day with Michael Cole here. They were weirdly staged. It looked like they were sitting very close to each other. It made me laugh. Cole tried to ask about Harper, but Rowan was like, no. This is about me. It's very much an ego-driven character now. I'm the mastermind. I keep being overlooked. I'm a genius. And Cole accuses Rowan of manslaughter attempts.
Yeah, he's like, you're trying to kill the man.
And Rowan's like, no, I just tried to make him scared.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, that part of the story definitely wasn't written with this in mind.
Oh, no.
So they're trying to do their best with it.
It's a story that has changed week to week to week. I did like Rowan dropping in some Goodfellas lines.
Oh, did he?
He did, yeah. He's like, what am I, a clown to you? Am I here to make you laugh? Yeah.
Ever since I was a little boy.
I wanted to be your bludgeon brother.
And he says he's not a follower. He's a leader. He's far superior intellectually to Brian.
Yeah.
And this is a very good promo. Again, like I said, the real appeal for me for Rowan's character is that he keeps on saying, I'm really smart. I'm really intelligent. I'm much more intelligent than you guys. Like, if anyone says that, they're not smart. They're very insecure about how they come off.
Yeah.
But he's also a giant, psychotic big man. And that's a very dangerous mix. I really like Rowan's character. I cannot believe in, like, where we started in 2019, before the partnership with Brian, and now here.
It's great.
Just shows you how many gems there are in WWE that just aren't being fully utilised.
Speaking of gems that aren't being fully utilised, you know what the dark match for this show was? The pre-show dark match.
Ooh, Buddy Murphy versus Ali in a proper match?
No, it was, you were close there.
Aleister Black.
Buddy Murphy versus Aleister Black. We had a report, I got an email from someone this morning who said, like, yeah, surprisingly, it was really, really good. But that was the dark match to hype the crowd up.
Honestly. after that, we got Ali versus Shinsuke Nakamura. You're like, ooh, Ali beat Nakamura a couple of weeks ago. They were going to have an intercontinental title feud until they decided to completely change direction and go with Sami Zayn and The Miz. And they're not going to pick it up back here either.
I think they're picking this back up. I think we're restarting this feud. And you say it was a couple of weeks ago. It was in July.
Yeah.
Yeah, when Ali pinned Shinsuke Nakamura, because I was surprised. Well, I went back and
checked. It was ahead of SummerSlam, wasn't it?
So it was, it was in...
I thought it was like the week before SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was in July was when they did that match and started this feud, but then sort of dropped it and then picked it back up again and then dropped it again because Shinsuke Nakamura didn't do anything at SummerSlam and only was at Night of Champions because he had to defend his title there. And then they paired it with Sami Zayn. But yeah, this was like, so Sami like brought Nakamura out and then they brought up that Ali beat him months ago and said that they're a team now, so it won't happen again. And they beat Ali up. For me, this was setting this program up, Ali versus Nakamura over the title. We'll just dust it off this feud and we'll try it again for the third time.
I hope you're right. I got the sense of we're still building Nakamura and Sammy. The Miz is probably going to get another match.
Get out! Get hey, out,
worst
mate.
Case scenario. Nightmare booking. And this was to give Nakamura an easy sort of win to look big.
No.
It was a squash match without an actual squash.
No.
Because the match never got started. It was just a beatdown.
The Miz, to me, felt like it was a... That was a one-cycle feud to give Nakamura a win with him and Sammy as a partnership.
I hope so. I hope so.
They can't dump Ali and put the Miz back into this position.
I'm just warning you that next week the Miz might come out and say, "How dare you do that to Ali? I'm gonna break the record for Intercontinental title reigns at Hell in a Cell."
Do you know what? It's funny. Oh.
Because if it's in Hell in a Cell, Sammy can't get involved.
They can't have multiple... The Miz versus Shinsuke Nakamura doesn't scream to me, "God, better put that inside a Hell in a Cell."
But it's such a long feud.
Such a long feud. It was Erica Duran, one of our pledge hammers, she commented on yesterday's video that really made me laugh. We were just like, when we were talking about The Fiend, I was like, there's no way that WWE can screw this up. It's like famous last words.
Oh my God, jump cut.
Well, the amount of people who were messaging the pair of us yesterday being like, there are so many ways out of this. You can do no contest. You can have The Undertaker show up and cause the DQ, bearing in mind it's inside Hell in a Cell. Or Undertaker shows up, chokeslam him so Seth can pin him. And I'm like, these are all terrible ideas. The only idea that works is The Fiend wins.
Yeah. So then we got the Kevin Owens thing walking out. No interaction with Sammy. And after that, we got the same AOP video package from Raw, mm-hmm. and then a little bit about the draft.
But we also had Charlotte Flair getting ready for her match when Ric Flair walked in.
Mm.
It felt sort of apropos because it just came off the back of a segment about suing.
Yes, that's a very good point. Of course, there's been some backstage issues with Ric Flair. So what was it about?
I believe
the use of the man?
Yeah, the man. I think he was trying to trademark the term the man.
Yeah, which understandably, WWE... weren't too happy with, because that's kind of Becky Lynch's thing right now.
Yeah.
Someone called Offset introduced Charlotte. Ric
yep.
Flair was... I thought Rick was going to come out.
Yeah, I thought
not
so
too. Not around at all.
But it said we had this chap called Offset. He didn't really do much. He just said Charlotte Flair's name quite blandly and then left.
He had a fancy robe on.
I think it was a Charlotte Flair robe.
Yeah.
Well, they had a little hug. Because
I'm pretty
she's
sure
a baby
it had Nature Boy on the back.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Oh, in which case it was
I
a
might
Rick
be
Flair
wrong.
Robe. By the way, they had a little hug. She is 100% a baby face now.
Yeah. And then Bayley and Sasha come out. Sasha's going to have a match. The commentary was just mind-numbingly annoying on this because they didn't talk about the actual match. They talked about Sasha and Charlotte's historic feud and all the WWE milestones that have happened. Buzzword, buzzword, buzzword. Nothing of substance.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And they recapped Flair attacking Bayley on Raw, but cut out all of the tiny steps that she took.
Yeah. And that Charlotte dominated this match. Sasha hardly got anything in. I would say 90% of this match went to Charlotte.
Which was a repeat of what they did at Night of Champions.
Yeah.
Clash of Champions, sorry.
And yet, Charlotte's wrestling as such a babyface. Charlotte had both Bayley and Sasha beat, really, because that they were both interfering and getting involved. But Bayley broke up the figure eight, I think it was. Or was it
she didn't
four?
Quite break it into the figure eight, but she was it got her in the figure four, and then Bayley jumped in for the DQ. Don't want to pin or beat Sasha as you're going for the title, and don't want to beat Flair because she's Flair. So, yeah, they just did the DQ finish.
Yeah, and they both start beating down Charlotte. So Carmella runs down for the save.
I was getting ready to write down Control-C, Control-V from the Monday Night Raw angle, but it's just with Becky making the save this time. And I was like, that's very typical WWE. But no, instead, they Control-C, Control-V'd Charlotte and brought Carmella out instead. And yeah, the tall, hot blondes beat up the non-blondes and stood tall.
I think WWE are going to slowly replace all the horsewomen with blonde women.
Yeah.
And they're going to think we don't notice. In a couple of weeks' time, it won't be Bayley, it'll be Liv Morgan. Okay. After that, it'll be Lacey Evans, it won't be Sasha.
But yeah, so
I thought it was Liv Morgan when Carmella
yeah,
ran
Yeah, I
down.
Thought as well.
I was like, oh, yeah, cool.
Liv Morgan was teasing her return a couple of weeks ago in a storyline that I think has been dropped, mm-hmm. but you know, it's not been mentioned for a while. But yeah, Carmella did some like wrestling stuff. She was in wrestling gear. She wasn't just there to be Truth Seconds.
All hands on deck. I think that means, again, for the draft, want to make Carmella an active wrestler rather than just a... Hasn't she been slightly injured as well?
Has she?
Yeah, might be misremembering that.
Okay.
But that, I thought that was one of the other reasons she wasn't in ring.
Okay, I don't
That's
remember.
Good that she's cleared, yeah, but yeah. I've got no interest seeing her in this storyline. I think the four horsewomen are having enough fun by themselves.
Well, that's it. The storyline's been built around these four horsewomen. It's just that we don't need a fifth wheel.
And I'm all for making, you know, like how the OC just appeared to randomly attack Seth. I love it when wrestlers cross over feuds and it makes it feel like a large, vibrant, interconnected world in WWE. But you do need to foreshadow stuff.
Yeah.
You just can't have Carmella run down after months and months of being in the 24/7 title skits and then go on commentary, oh yeah, because Carmella and Bayley are friends and Carmella came down to defuse the situation because she doesn't know what's happening to Bayley. I'm like, you can't just do this in a line in commentary.
No.
Why can't you just set that up? And all it needs is a 30-second skip backstage earlier.
Yeah.
Have Carmella walk into that interview that Banks and Bayley did. At least do something to set it up. Ideally, months worth. But not like, it was poor. Like, why wasn't it Ember Moon?
Well, I mean, Ember would have actually made sense. But she's not blonde.
So I'm getting more down on the Four Horsewomen stuff every week, apparently, which is a real shame because there's so much potential there.
I feel that they're booking Bayley weaker and weaker as each week goes by. But now, as we were talking about this earlier in the day, Sasha's almost falling victim to that as well. She's falling into the Charlotte Flair vortex.
But all is well.
Oh!
Because... move aside, King Chopper Whopper, because we have a new king in town.
King Baron Corbin came out for his coronation street and he put his cape on and he got the crown. He put the crown on and he said, I'm going to rule this place with an iron fist. And he brought out Chad Gable to make some terrible short jokes that you're always being overlooked. You did one in the tournament, but you came up short and all of this. And no matter how big you dream, you're always going to come up short. And then Chad put Corbin through the throne.
That couldn't have worked better.
It disintegrated. It was amazing. Like, it was proper, like you built a bit of IKEA furniture, but didn't put one screw in. And then you sat into it, and it all just went, ba-dum, 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 yeah, ba-dum, 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 and just, like, fell down perfectly. And it just collapsed brilliantly. And then he just started snapping the scepter. Corey grabbed one of the bits of the scepter that had snapped off, and he stood on the crown, and he tore up the cape. And Corbin's on the outside yelling at him to stop. But he won't get in the ring and fight him. It was great, great heel work from Corbin. And actually the best bit of babyface stuff from Gable. This is the best that Gable's looked throughout this entire tournament.
What was really amazing for me is, yeah, all that's happened. Corbin's on the outside yelling, amazing heel work. Because the crowd are just, they're not just so into Gable, they're so against Corbin.
That's it.
Like, I know you said there's those ironic cool chants for Corbin from the New York crowd.
This really worked as a heel
this
thing.
Is like, yeah. This is how good Corbin is as a heel,
yeah,
because he's not getting those. It's all like, he is directing that heat perfectly,
mm-hmm,
towards him negatively and towards his opponent positively. And Chad Gable's the perfect foil because he has just this naturally empathetic connection with the crowd. I don't know if it's his face or whatever it is, but I look at the guy and I'm like, yeah, I want you to win.
And it also helps that Corbin is way taller than Gable than everyone else. Like, everyone else has been saying, oh, you're short, has been like an inch taller than him. It's like, well, you're basically looking him eye to eye. You're also short, I guess. But Corbin's like a full foot taller than him. So it completely works when he just walks up and sort of towers over. It doesn't look down at him, just looks over him to still cut the promos. So it visually makes it work.
But the bit that I just adored and was really quite stunned by, Corbin's on the outside, Gable's in the ring, he's trashed everything, and then there's the crown on the floor, and he just, very subtle movements, he just looks at the crown on the floor out the corner of his eye. The whole crowd are like, yes, yes, yes.
Because they don't want to see Corbin have it. It's so good.
But it's also like, they were into Gable.
Yeah,
here.
It really was. All those yes chants. Like, this was the most the crowd were into probably anything on the show.
And Gable just, you know, like, perfectly, subtly, just then started stomping on it. I thought Gable has something. You know, like we talk about it. Like, he's got it.
Oh, yeah.
And even though this character is not the best use of him, like, goofy Gable Kurt Angle is my favourite version of Chad Gable. But that's like, it just shows that his itness can come through in multiple personas.
I'd say this in my review later, but they have got an organic, bona fide baby face on their hands that this crowd can get into if he is booked correctly from this point. However, as that one super chat we had earlier sort of was listing off those baby faces that were like organically over, it's not the best track record for the company.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm hopeful on this because I think Gable is so, so good. And Corbin, man, what a turnaround. What an absolute turnaround for him.
I love the humble pie. Well, it's not humble pie because I never said he was a bad wrestler. Just overpushed. Then we got a teeny tiny blink and you miss it plug for NXT.
Yeah.
Just on commentary.
NXT's coming tomorrow.
but you don't have to watch it. I mean, it's not very, you know,
yeah.
It's not main roster stuff.
It's for marks.
Then we got Heavy Machinery versus the B Team, which was perfect.
Yeah, so Otis is now just wearing trunks. And so his gimmick is now, I'm the sexiest wrestler alive. And I love it.
Yeah.
This is the perfect thing. Someone messaged me today, this morning, saying like, ugh, why is he wearing trunks? Like, because he looks amazing.
Yeah.
He looks so much better in these trunks than he does in the singlets.
You think, like, how can you make Otis, who's one of the most charismatic people in the company, even more attention-grabbing? And they've somehow... I would say you can't do it, because he's already so amazing. And they have.
They have. It was so good. It was amazing. And he just like, and Tucker's great as well. Tucker's really, really good. And they get like the crowd are really starting to get up for the Caterpillar. I could do without Byron Saxton on commentary when it happens. But the crowd are so organically into the Caterpillar and they hit the compactor for the win. That's 2 weeks now they've had just squash matches. But to be honest, this was a whole new wrinkle because it was just him in his pants and it was brilliant.
They're the kind of team, unlike the Viking Raiders, where these squash matches really work.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, boom, run into the revival.
Yeah.
Down the line. Then we got the main event segment, which was Daniel Bryan coming out to
just
sort of...
Before we get to that, Kofi versus Brock like had an official graphic that came up with the new SmackDown logo and what I think was might be a hint of our first theme song. Well, the theme song for it sounded like it was soundtracked by AC/DC.
Ooh,
from what I heard.
Sense.
And Pete is nodding, which means, yes, yeah, so it's a new AC/DC track.
So Bryan comes out for the main event. He is huge babyface reaction, of course. And he says that he never lied to them. He never lied to the crowd.
Yeah, it's a good or bad. I would never lie to you.
Yeah, he stands here exonerated from the attacks. He treated Rowan as an equal, as a friend. They were the tag team champions. I'm like, again, it's the same with Kevin Owens. Your delivery is brilliant. I don't buy into your friendship with Rowan. I never really got that from them.
There was a really nice I thought he added a nice bit of emotionality to this when he said to Rowan, when Rowan's sort of cutting a promo on him, because Rowan comes out and he's just like, you know, you just made me stand in the back. You never let me talk, this, that, and the other. And Bryan sort of cuts him off and said, look, whatever you're going to do to me, just do it. Because it cannot be worse than losing you as a friend. And I was like, oh! That's a brilliant line.
Yeah.
That's a real, like, heartbreaking line.
I've written down the exact same bit. Really lovely, great delivery. But again, I never saw them that way as friends. Like,
he was just a henchman.
Yeah, so that's a shame.
He did used to call him his intellectual equal.
Mm. So, yeah, I always call my friends that.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I call, when my wife says, like, who did you see today? I was like, my intellectual equal, Ollie Davis.
Yeah, exactly. And that, yeah, like, Rowan comes out and... They Harper jumps Bryan and they just launch into an excellent beatdown.
This was terrific.
Mm. So they beat up Bryan first, then Roman runs down for the save. Roman gets beat up. They start ripping up the mat on the outside of the ring. Loads of security goons come down. They get, what was it, like powerbombed or chokeslam?
So one of them, they powerbombed Roman into the post. Like a dual powerbomb type thing. And then one of them got slammed onto the concrete and then Harper slammed one of the other lads onto the lad on the concrete.
Brilliant.
And then they went round, they beat up Roman some more, lifted up the commentary table, like took it apart and then double chokeslammed Bryan through that table. And in all of this, Harper attacked Tom Phillips and laid him out.
It was so funny. I was like, because I saw this body with really nice shoes on.
I thought it was Greg Hamilton at first.
Yeah, just lying at the side of... And I thought, what? When did that happen? So I went back and you can kind of miss
just,
it.
Yeah, it's just slightly at the back of frame.
And Corey and Byron never mention it.
Well, they did. They said to each other, "Are you okay?" Which I thought was a really nice moment. Actually, I loved this segment for multiple reasons. But this was one of those subtle moments because Corey and Byron, I think, jumped over the barricade in towards the fans, but then asked each other, "Like, you okay? Are we all right? Are we still on?" And it almost felt like, yeah, they don't like each other, but they also care for each other's safety in this sort of chaotic situation.
They don't care about Todd.
Oh, well, no. Well, yeah, but who cares about Todd? Todd may as well not be there at times.
Luke is just kind of like trashing the outside area.
Harper, that is, not
Luke. Yeah, not Luke. Five guys, the restaurant chain room there. And Harper grabs one of the big commentary chairs, and he's probably just going to throw it down the side, but Phillips hasn't gotten out of the way in time, so Phillips just bumps like he's dead.
Oh, yeah.
When really he just got hit by quite a cushioned chair in the side of the abdomen. And like you've got referees running over to him, are you okay? He's like, so I loved it. But yeah, excellent beatdown.
Yeah.
And that's how it went off air. But yeah, a really good episode. But I'm the Kevin Owens stuff is rubbish, but hopefully it has a light at the end of the tunnel of Shane McMahon leaving. And the Four Horsewomen stuff is deteriorating very hard.
My only other thing I would say if I was to write something in the negative column would be that whenever I see Harper and Rowan, I cannot help but think that Harper should be the leader and Rowan should be the guy following him. Maybe that's just because I've been conditioned to think that's what Rowan is because that's all he's done for the last, you know, however long, 6 years that he's been on the main roster now. So maybe it's just as a case of that. But I just think Luke Harper's so good. I don't want to just see Luke Harper in the sort of follower position. I want to see them as equals.
Totally.
And I think that's actually within Rowan's character to treat him as an equal as opposed to treating him as an insubordinate or a subordinate rather. But looking at the positive side of things, I thought this was a very, very good show. Really, really good show. Very much enjoyed it.
We'll start it with the rest of them about the Shane McMahon's Kevin Owens angle. The Crocabilly says, do you guys think that the better lawsuit would have been an assault lawsuit since Shane fired Kevin before attacking him, making Kevin a civilian before the attack?
I think that's even worse, just because you're a tough guy wrestler, and I want to believe in these wrestlers as legitimate tough guys, if they're baby faces, that is, and you wouldn't take the... Yeah, I know in real life, taking the legal route is actually the best way to do it, but this is a fantasy land. It's like Iron Man going through the court to get the Mandarin as opposed to just going around there and dishing out some good old-fashioned justice.
Yeah.
So, no, that's terrible.
Evanuel Sejo says... super chatting while at work. Can't wait to listen on the way back home. Support Wrestle Talk. Also, what the hell is WWE doing with Kevin Owens?
They think it's good. I think they're booking him with Shane. They've got a really meaty HR-based storyline.
They think they've got Austin McMahon too.
Scotty2Hotty Ringer says, new 2K20 GM mode, fend off lawsuits / HR complaints.
You have to do a lot of admin as well. There's a whole area where you've got to make sure the payroll's okay.
Yeah. Make sure everyone's expenses. I mean, actually, they don't pay back expenses, do they? What we're talking about.
LesterWink23 says, worse angle, KO Shane feud or the Roman attacker storyline?
KO Shane.
Yeah, I'd say KO Shane too, because like, The Roman attacker angle, Rowan, they've made like...
a star out of it.
Somehow, like, it was nonsense, but no one's actually come off looking bad. In fact, everyone involved is more over.
Exception of Buddy Murphy.
No, but Buddy Murphy is more over than when he started.
He got 2 weeks.
Yeah. He's been forgot about since, but before that storyline, he was going to get nothing.
That's very true.
Whereas Kevin Owens and Shane McMahon, Shane McMahon's been rubbish for a long time, and Owens has been completely undermined as a babyface.
Cool. We got the ones about the Kofi Kingston, Brock Lesnar return, etc.
Was that crown always there, Pete?
Yeah. Don't know what you're talking about. Tim Hahn says, sadly, I have a funeral to attend on October 5th. I've been asked to do a speech, and I already have my first line. Kofi Kingston put up a good fight.
I see. I was ready to go. Oh, I'm really sorry, Tim.
Really sorry to hear that, yeah.
Yeah, Brock's going to win.
Yeah, maybe.
KJ says, for the love of God, please keep Brock and Roman away from each other if they're going to be on the same brand. That feud has been done to death.
Prediction, prediction, prediction. Brock wins SmackDown and it builds to Roman Brock at WrestleMania for the WWE Championship.
I also made that joke in the news today.
Yeah,
I don't hate it though. Like now that I like Roman Reigns.
No, you don't?
Oh, now that I like Roman Reigns.
I'm so over Roman versus Brock. That'll be the, what, third time they've done Roman Brock at WrestleMania.
Hey, we got four Omega Okada matches.
They were all good!
And also a SummerSlam between them two. Moin Carnib says, does this mean Bray versus Brock at Survivor Series?
Could be. Just
what you speculated earlier. B says, I really don't want to see Kofi lose.
Oh, but don't watch then.
Also, like, Kofi's been a great champion, but I think it's time now.
Yeah,
and nothing's been as good as WrestleMania.
That's the thing, is they've not captured that lightning in a bottle that we had from Kofi Mania. Like that February through to April run, Kofi's championship run has never felt like that since he won the belt. But I think that is WWE's fault, because they booked him against Dolph Ziggler for 4 or 5 months or whatever, but it felt like 4 or 5 months. And randomly turning Owens heel again for a couple of weeks, that didn't help. And they just booked him as a mid-carder.
Danny Trashman DeVito says, Lesnar to SmackDown as he had the SmackDown name thing.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I think he was always going to go to SmackDown.
A bunch of letters that I don't know might be Russian. Can't tell. Brock's F5 to Kofi for the WWE title on SmackDown is like SmackDown Here Comes the Pain remastered.
Nice.
That's good. LesterWink23 again says, I called Kofi Brock on Fox weeks ago. Thanks, WWE.
I mean, I don't want to brag, but I called it months and months ago. I called it after Money in the Bank.
It's a good idea.
Timothy Jones.
And the only reason I bring that up is because Randy messaged me and said, don't be so humble. You bring it this months ago.
Timothy Jones says, am I the only one who wants to see Kofi beat Brock, maybe with a little bit of Big E interference? Kofi comes out a star from the jump and they can build a Kofi Big E feud after, with Kofi upset with E.
I think if Kofi is going to beat Brock, which I'd love, it's got to be clean. It has to be clean.
Dwayne Cooley says, Harper, Rusev, and Lesnar? WWE must have taken notes from Jericho on surprise appearances and hiding returning superstars. I was surprised every time.
Yeah, like we said earlier, all hands on deck for the draft, and also they're tightening up that leaky backstage ship.
But I almost feel that as a sort of a counter to it, the feeding of duff information is to throw people off the scent. So, like, it's very, very timely that it was the Thursday newsletter before Clash of Champions that Meltzer reported that Vince is done with Harper. And then on the Friday, Lesnar's not coming back. Like, it's just so timely that he's been fed the information to say they're not coming back, so that we all are off the scent for when they do come back.
Barely Average Gaming says, with Brock returning, do you guys think it was for a rating bump, or will he win and make SmackDown suit super boring and a little bit of the bubbly?
it's a ratings bump.
Ratings bump and winning the title. So I think both.
I think that Fox probably really wanted Brock to be part of the show. Like it's the same thing with when WWE sold Fox on the idea of, you know, signing them up. They were like, hey, look, we've got Brock Lesnar and Ronda Rousey. We haven't got Ronda anymore. But hey, we still got Brock. So I'd imagine them putting Brock front and center for it.
Got a couple about Rowan. Tim Arndt says, I was so elated and yelled so loudly when I saw Rowan's Cannibal Corpse shirt that I scared everyone else in the library.
You were watching in the library?
Yeah. What a place to watch wrestling.
What a nerd. Mayor of Painesville Dan says, hello, guys. I personally thought the coronation segment was great, but the final segment of SmackDown was fantastic. Absolutely brilliant. Eric Rowan is, be honest, way better than you all thought. And I knew it all along.
Well done, Dan. I guess you spotted that talent like Daniel Bryan spotted the talent. It was an excellent beatdown.
That was so good.
But would it have been as good without Harper?
We got a couple about the women's division. Dina Cisai said, Bayley's character work has been amazing since she turned heel.
Oh, I disagree.
Yeah, I'm going to disagree on that one.
It's been okay. Like, it's not been bad, but it's... Like, Sasha's hasn't been amazing, but Sasha's is still way better than Bayley's.
Echo clears up who Offset is. A lot of the chat were calling us idiots for not knowing who they are, apparently.
It's harsh to call us idiots.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah, on that. Everything else, everything, I think, that's a lot totally. Of evidence to call us idiots.
So much evidence, but
not
yeah.
on the Offset thing.
No.
He says, Offset is a rapper, made a song called Ric Flair Drip, which I did actually know. He did the Ric Flair song. Rick is featured prominently in the video. And then he says, you guys should hire an American reference person.
Yeah. Yeah, mm. that seems pressing.
Or have the commentary explain that.
That would be good.
You got to treat your audience like they're morons. WWE
usually do.
I was going to say, WWE do it for everything else.
We got a whole one about the tag division. Nazir says,
<that right>?
what do you think of the OC recruiting more people? I like the idea of Ziggler and Rude being more than a placeholder and joining the OC.
I don't want them part of the OC. If you're going to hire anyone, I don't want it to be Rude and Ziggler.
Like, did the NWO get better after Hall, Nash and Hogan? No.
We got also a whole one about King Baron Corbin.
Oh.
Petty Kruger said, Royalty Rumble, hashtag Corbin versus Chopper for the crown.
And King Booker, chucking all the kings. It's all the famous YouTube kings, isn't there? There's no other wrestling-based kings.
No, definitely not. We got quite a few just about SmackDown in general. Jobber JJ, Ollie Davis' number one fan, said, finally the Reigns storyline is going somewhere rather than week to week. What's Bischoff's role on SmackDown? And will Heyman have a role on SmackDown as well?
So, from what I can gather, the Bischoff role was less of a creative bit that Heyman's got on Raw. And Bischoff's role was to be a go-between, but between departments and Fox, and be sort of like a liaison. But he has posted photos of him from like writers' rooms, or saying he's in writers' rooms for certain things. So I don't know if he's part of the creative process. Granted, if I was Bischoff, I probably wouldn't take credit for doing a lot of the writing, only because as soon as he took over, SmackDown did get really bad. Mm. So maybe wait until he gets really good and then start taking credit for it. But I don't know.
If you check out the news later, there's more about that on this week's episode, because Vince wasn't around for SmackDown again, and some other people stepped in to run it, and Bischoff was one of those people, but he wasn't the only one.
Yeah, wow.
Ethan Aldana said, hey guys, if I go to SmackDown on Fox, what sign should I bring to get noticed?
What sign?
Mm.
Support WrestleTalk.
Yeah.
Of course.
Always. Headmaster Jonathan Headman said was going to ask you if you thought SmackDown was going to get a theme song, but it's obviously going to be AC/DC. It says Good Time, but it's not. It's Are You Ready? Because it's already a song that exists. With that info, GFX, is there any other song you'd like to see as a theme?
The Beautiful People.
The Beautiful People.
Elizabeth Williams just says, I really hate the direction WWE is going in.
Just can't brackets general.
I mean, I love The Fiend.
I think SmackDown's got a lot of really good stuff going for it. Really, really good stuff. It's just my only complaint I've ever had about SmackDown is that it has got such a deep roster that never, like, just deserves way better.
3 hours. That's what we need.
There you go. That's the answer.
Oh, I can't even get through that joke without vomiting.
Scorp 18 is Elite says, when SmackDown moves to Fox, do you think they should change everything? Entrance, stage, intro, ring?
Yes. I think that's a good idea, yeah. I don't think they will, though, actually.
They like it to look the same. They like Raw and SmackDown to look the same.
The AdNap 2 says, at this rate, Leo Rush will return on Fox.
I didn't think of that.
Forgot about Leo Rush. It was so funny because Laurie's news yesterday had like all these returns that were coming up. I'd forgotten half of them were even there. Like when you mentioned Bobby Lashley, I was like, oh my, of course. I completely forgot that Bobby Lashley works for the company.
Spark says, whatever happened to championship matches being determined through number one contender matches? I'm tired of seeing people like Orton, Lesnar, Owens be handed title matches.
Yeah, I think that's, and it's such a good piece of meat to base matches around. Like, you've got a ready-built steak there, but WWE, for whatever reason, don't do them as much as they should do.
No.
AEW seemed to be very high on that, though.
I was watching the Road to TNT AEW video they posted up yesterday, I believe, and they were going through the brackets for the tag team tournament, and every single match, I was like, oh, yes, absolutely. Young Bucks Private Party, Jurassic Express, I'm like, oh, my God. This is going to be so much fun.
Order get a bye. Yes, they're not going to wrestle.
That's one less match for them.
R. Jennings says, WWE uploaded the full SmackDown on YouTube. Not in the UK, though.
Did they?
Well, this episode.
Are you apparently sure that's the official WWE YouTube channel? It could be a naughty one.
Mm.
Potentially. WWE with an accent.
Mm.
Wilson Simons says, who do you guys think will be number one pick in the draft? My pick is Becky or The Fiend.
Hmm. I'd say it's Becky or Roman as the 2K20 stars.
Speaking of The Fiend, Nate Drop Surname says, sorry if this is late, I watch Raw late. Does Seth think The Fiend is a T-Rex? He sold it like if he didn't move or look at him, he'd be safe.
He was frozen in fear. Yeah. I like the sell job.
I liked it as well.
And one about NXT, yes, to Josh says, are we going to see NXT play into Survivor Series matches now that they'll be nationally televised?
I don't think so.
Maybe they'll... I could see them getting one match on the... Actually, no, what am I talking about? It's the Triple H Expanded Universe. He seems to want to keep it as distinct from everything else as possible.
And I've said this before because it feels like we've had this question now for the last 3 years about will we get NXT involved in Survivor Series. I don't think there'll be a way to do it that the fans would like, because someone will have to lose, and that we won't be happy that NXT has been beaten or quote unquote buried by the main roster. So actually, I just think for the best thing for everyone is it just stays separate.
And now everyone's favourite, the miscellaneous. Daniel M says, Rumble pre-sale within the hour. Who wins both? I'm assuming both Rumble matches.
Well, you said The Fiend, didn't you?
Well, that was in my initial, if I was doing it, this is what I would do. But I think it's now going to get the title, so I don't know. Roman, probably?
It's hard to say, because we don't know who the champions will be at that time. I think you could see Becky win the Rumble again.
Yeah. Yeah, Pusher is the two-time Rumble winner. Yeah. I could see that.
Christian Baltimore says, happy National Cheeseburger Day, Chopper Whopper. Thank you. Daniel Lee said, how's that CrossFit going, Ollie? Hugs and kisses from Arizona, USA.
Haven't done CrossFit in about a year because I don't like how tired it made me. I much prefer to do a couple of lifts. Like, do one lift and then take 3 minutes out and then do another one and then you go home. That's my ideal workout, whereas CrossFit is do as many as you possibly can in 45 minutes.
John Leslie Harubi says, I honestly gave up on WWE around the second week of the wild card. Have things gotten better enough to go back to watching, or is it Stockholm Syndrome?
So much better.
Yeah.
So much better than those days.
That was
a dark
time, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, give it a go. You might like it.
Ryan F. said, I know it's only Wednesday, but I hope you guys have a great weekend. I know I will. I'm going to see my favorite band, Iron Maiden, this Saturday.
Nice.
I got 2 tickets to Iron Maiden, baby.
You started singing that song, I thought, it's not an Iron Maiden song.
Friday, don't say maybe. I'm just a teenage dirt.
Yorkshire Rob says,
like,
come on, we're going to get demonetized.
Dun, 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 dun.
We're actually going to get demonetized.
Carry on.
Yeah. Thanks. Yorkshire Bob.
Hey, yeah!
says, just finished.
Had a guy on percussion, didn't they? Who was always doing this. Didn't even have an instrument. They had a separate drummer. I never understood
what,
it.
Like Bez?
Yeah, he was like this. And then like, hur, hur. There's like a... Hur.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, take it away.
You guys quite done. Yorkshire Rob says, just
Dirt
finished.
No, she doesn't know.
We're already late. Just finished riffing out my kitchen. Now time for a lovely time with the boys.
Lovely time with the boys.
Zachary Marsh says, do nightmare booking instead of fantasy.
It's depressing enough as it is.
Yeah.
Jamie Jupiter says, when Chopper Pete does WrestleTalk news, can you get a funny segment where you use the Beach Boys song Barbara Ann, but change the words to chop, 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 Chopper Pete? Kind of like how you guys do the mustache segment.
Do you want to do that?
Nah.
We'll workshop it.
Yeah.
Kevin, workshop it. Kevin says, nice. I left my headphone emoji at home, so no ramble for me today.
Aww.
Play it out loud for the whole world to hear. Don't be ashamed.
Share it with your friends.
Lovely time with the boys.
And the Great said, if you can move one superstar to any company, who and where? Gable to NJPW to make him a superstar. He might be top 5 on WWE's roster. Wasted potential.
CM Punk to AEW. Can I have that one?
Yeah, you can do. Aussie Opens to AEW.
That'd be great. Nathan, the Alpha Wolf Vella, says, today is National Cheeseburger Day. Awoo. Thank you. Brock Batty said, "Hey Luke, the Brock has sent you an email regarding his challenge to King Chopper Pete, wondering if you have received said email."
Yeah, it came in during this show, so I've not read it yet.
That's totally fair. Stevie Ray says, "Happy Hump Day. Ollie, can we get a Drake Maverick?"
Drake Maverick.
Tristan C. said, "Chopper, why so down on Steven Universe? It's amazing. What about Adventure Time or regular show? Any other opinions on other Cartoon Network shows? No. Keep up the good work, guys." No, I don't have any other opinions on Cartoon Network shows because I don't watch them and I don't have time to get into why I don't like Steven Universe. It used to be good and then it became bad.
I got someone who got in touch with me on Twitter who was very upset with you that you do not like Steven Universe.
I used to like it.
I did used to like it. Yeah, it used to be really, really good. And then right towards the end of the series, they kind of undermined everything they'd done previously, which was really dumb and I hated it. It was very convoluted and I didn't like it. And then they had the movie, which also wasn't great. So, in my humble opinion.
I can feel your fiancé's heart breaking.
I know. She just did an amazing piece of art, by the way.
That was really wicked, the movie. Yeah.
Fiancé?
Yes.
Yeah.
She's always been my fiancé, Luke. Oh. Luke,
I was
going to
say, I knew.
What are you talking about, Luke?
Anywho, Dave the Aussie Experience Humphreys said, "Dropped in to say hello and have a little bit of the bubbly with the boys. Super Ollie, Mecha Luke, the Lucha Legend Laurie, Mr. Randall Datsun, Chop of the Pete. Love all your content, gents."
Thank you very much. It's very kind of you to say.
When are you going to get married?
Whenever I have money, which is a long time off yet. Matt Field said, "Why can't people like Meltzer just stop leaking? It ruins the industry and has taken the element of surprise away for years."
It doesn't ruin the industry. He's been doing it for like 60 years and it's never ruined anything.
Barely Average Gaming says, "I forgot to add to prior super chat. Happy birthday, Chopper Whopper." Thank you.
And congratulations on the engagement.
Oh my God. This is not new.
It is now, mate. It's going to be a thing now. Davis has decreed. Davis has now made it a meme.
When I met you guys at MediaCon, we were already engaged. Yeah.
I did not. Just completely.
What kind of boss are you?
Did not know that.
Viola. Viola says.
We go for drinks quite a lot.
I just thought they'd been going out for a while.
What did you think the ring was that she wore on her ring finger?
I don't look at fingers. I don't look at ladies' fingers, you sicko. I think fingers are horrible.
Viola says, "I might apply to write for WrestleTalk." You should.
Yeah, please do. You should. Admin at WrestleTalk.com.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Giant420 Ginger says, "Would rather watch you than watch WWE. Hashtag BBB. Hashtag LTWTB.
Lovely time with the boys."
What's BBB?
Bit of the bubbly. That doesn't make sense. Brave Boys? Bubbly Brave Boys?
Bubbly Brave Boys.
I don't know. Who can say? Now I got the ones that came in while I was reading the other ones. Echo says,
the dolphin.
Yeah, EKHO. Close enough. And we've been through this.
It's actually not close
several
at all.
Times. Well, we've been through this several times, but NXT has been promoted during almost every commercial break back here in Alabama. How many times I've heard "We are NXT"? Yes, but.
That doesn't count. That is, yeah. When we talk, like, you had the best way to describe this. I think it was on the live stream you did, where it's like, if they'd have promoted it, you would have known.
Yeah.
That's the way the WWE promote things. Like, if they had done a 3-minute video on Raw, you would know. But it's these 30-second commercials that don't really show what the product is. If WWE really wanted to promote this, they would have done.
Mike Martin II said, "KO is going to take Shane to Little People's Court."
God, I hope so.
Redacted Red said, "What if the Fiend winning leads to an eventual Demon versus Fiend for the title, maybe at Mania?" That's a common thing.
Yeah, we've talked about that a lot. Maybe a couple of years down the line, really, I think.
Zach Icon Lintner said, "Happy third and or fourth day of the week, Chopper." It's the fourth day of the week.
I guess if Sunday. The week starts on Sunday
say,
or
I
Monday.
Start on Monday.
I start on Sunday.
Really? I start
I say
on Monday.
Monday's the start of the working week, but
really?
Sunday
you say
technically
Sunday's the start of the week.
That was a it's a thing, right?
Sundays
is... It is a thing. You get a lot of diaries that start on a Sunday.
My calendar, which is based on Katana Comics, is Sunday to Monday, and it really confuses me because I go to write things on a Sunday and end up writing in the bloody Saturday column.
Also, the calendar that I use to help do our weekly schedule starts on a Sunday.
Does it really? Does it,
I thought it was starting on a
Monday. As in, my schedule that I make starts on a Monday, for easiness.
Hold on.
But the actual calendar that we use with people's time off and everything starts from Sundays.
That might be your specific setting. If you're looking at it from Google Calendar.
Probably, yeah.
I was going to say, I'm looking at the one you've built, and it's built from Monday
yes,
through
I know,
Sunday.
Yes, I know, because we're not in on Sunday, so why would I put in Sundays on the schedule I make?
It's just conflicting, Pete, that's all I'm saying.
Anywho, Anton H, this is getting very rambly. Anton H says, Finn turns heel, joins the OC, fantasy book the OC to dominate Royal Rumble, I guess, says RR. Mm. Then Finn and AJ are left with insert babyface, and Finn wins Demon versus Fiend at Mania.
Yeah, it's a good bit of... I would prefer, like, that thing. You have the OC with Balor for, like, 2 years, and then they get in the Rumble, and that's where Balor and AJ sort of have a leadership struggle.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's... You build that.
Sean Turner comes in to say the best sign, referring to the guy who said, what sign should I bring before, is where is Bayley Sting?
Yeah, that's also good.
Or if you really want to get noticed, write something about Final Fantasy VIII, because then Matthew will tweet about it. He's got a way bigger audience.
Mayor Painesville Dan comes in dropping the knowledge bomb, saying, information for you guys. WWE uploads the full episodes of Raw and SmackDown to YouTube for countries without a TV deal, like Greece, Romania, or the Netherlands.
Using the old geo-blocking, so yeah, we can't see it. Interesting.
Hmm. Jobber JJ, Ollie Davis, number one fan.
Interesting is a strong word.
Oh, I think that's very interesting. Yeah.
Anywho, Jobber JJ, Ollie Davis, number one fan, says, I'm just a teenage dirtbag. Oh, yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Baby.
I hate that song.
You hate it?
Yeah, I never liked that song.
Oh, my God, I love it. Yeah, I love that whole album.
Oh, you're that guy.
The Wheatus album.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I was never a Wheatus kid.
Their little respect cover's great.
Mm.
NC Lauder, N Clauder says, congrats, Chopper. Can't wait for little choppers. What have you guys done?
Chopper children.
Juan Martinez says, congrats on the engagement, Pete. Jobber JJ says, King Chopper Whopper has a Queen Chopper Whopper.
Oh, Queen Chopper Whopper.
Caleb Maldonado said, here's some money towards the wedding. Congrats on the recent engagement.
Do you want us to make it a Patreon goal, Pete?
I mean, if you want it.
Oh, we should do it as a live stream.
I'd be so down for that.
Will Ospreay to officiate it.
Run-ins.
It's perfect. Yeah. Jughead Jones says, do you think WWE should bring back the scaffold match for Starrcade?
The actual Jughead from Archie.
No. It'll be funny. They shouldn't never bring that back. Though.
No.
Trenton Brown says, you're talking about NXT's lack of promotion. Reminds me, remember when Seth broke Cena's nose and WWE promoted his return like the second coming of Jesus?
John Cena's return after the nose thing. I don't remember. I remember the nose thing. I don't remember the return promotion. But yeah, that would be an example of how WWE can promote stuff, as overbearing as it is.
Juan Martinez says, don't worry, Pete. I don't have much money either for a wedding. Lovely time with the broke boys. Why are you super chatting then?
He doesn't want to get married.
Yeah.
Really. Yeah. I haven't got any money. Don't know where it goes.
And then finally, thank you to the Crocabilly and Barely Average Gaming for super chatting, but with no message.
Thank you very much. Thank you, everybody,
for this particularly rambly episode. But what great news for Chopper. It's just to announce that on the show is a real special moment. He got hired on the Wrestle Ramble. We all remember that when we did the phone call on WrestleMania weekend. And now he announced he proposed to his girlfriend on the live stream.
Yeah.
Amazing. Literally been engaged for all the 2 years.
It's news to me.
So, you know.
I had this email in from Jaron Walker. Now, those of you will probably know the name Jaron Walker. He's featured in the Super Chats as Small Afro Games. He's also been featured
Mentioning because he's the guy who's created all of our 2K characters that are going to feature in our 2K universe mode when we reach our 50,000 subscriber goal over on ScreenStalker. Plus, long-time podcast listeners will remember Jaron Walker as the man who found the love of his life via this podcast.
I love this story.
Yes. Well, anyway, he is emailed in with a date update.
An update?
Massive conflict.
Oh, have you read it yet?
I have read it. Hey, guys. My relationship with Crystal, brackets, Bullet Club t-shirt girl.
Should we do a recap of the story so far?
Go ahead.
Just to catch people up. Everybody's podcast is their first podcast. So, Jaron Walker saw a girl at his college, I believe, in the lunchroom, and she was wearing a Bullet Club t-shirt.
Ollie said, I bet you she smelled.
I want to say Blake Ham. In Jaron's words, she was quite attractive for someone in a Bullet Club t-shirt, which always gets a laugh out of me, because they're horrible marks.
As we're sitting here with our Funko Pops of the Elite on the desk.
I know. He asked her out using us as like a sort of recommendation.
A conduit.
Yeah. So he was talking about us. They got together. This was like a year, 2 years ago?
2 years ago. We were in the old studio. Wow. Very much so. That felt very early days of the podcast. Mm. Well, I would remember I used to move across to the other side of the studio so we could have a direct conversation like this as opposed to sitting next to each other.
Yeah,
yeah. But anyway, so here is the email. So my relationship with Crystal, brackets, Bullet Club t-shirt girl, has hit a wrestling-related roadblock. End of the line. Ooh. I'm very excited for NXT to be 2 hours on USA Network. NXT is consistently fantastic and is a great pay-per-view for great preview for what the future will hold for professional wrestling. I'm looking forward to watching it every week. However, Crystal has told me that she wants to watch AEW every week on television.
Of course she does. What more did you expect? She was wearing a Bullet Club t-shirt.
We watch wrestling every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and sometimes Sunday together. I'm not worried about what we're going to watch. I'm not worried about what we're going to watch once the Wednesday Night War comes around. We can easily watch both in one night. My concern is that I feel if Crystal watches AEW every week, she may transition into an AEW-only type fan.
Interesting.
We watch Double or Nothing and All Out together, and that's all she would talk about. Even when we watch Raw and SmackDown together, she brings up inconsistencies in WWE's booking and says, quote, All Elite would have done that so much better. I love WWE. I grew up on it. And I don't get as angry as other people when certain stupid things happen. I also think we should appreciate all wrestling promotions because competition is a good thing. However, I feel like she's slipping away from being a fan of both products and wants to be strictly a fan of AEW. Am I overreacting? Should I be concerned? Please help. I don't want to lose my wrestling buddy.
Is this about wrestling promotions? This sounds like it's a... Is there anyone else in her life at the moment? This sounds like a classic email where someone emails in and they're actually talking about, you know, larger under the surface issues.
I think this is very much a wrestling related
thing.
Yeah,
I get that as well.
Yeah.
So, interesting, but like surely you don't mind if she just goes full AEW? That kind of makes sense. And let's be honest, Raw and SmackDown are largely crap. Like, we get a kick out of it just like you do because we grew up on it and... You know, for our sins, we're stuck with it for life, just like people are stuck with supporting their local sports team. It feels like that's kind of life sentence. But NXT and AEW are very, very good. Like, even if I didn't have the childhood of growing up with wrestling, I would still watch those two because it's just objectively good programming.
Yes, exactly. I'll be honest, this email screams to me, you just don't want her to watch AEW.
Yeah.
And if that's the show that she wants to watch, then that's the show she's going to watch and that's the show she's going to like. You just said it yourself. She doesn't like Raw or SmackDown that much. So, yeah, more like... And you met her when she was wearing a Bullet Club t-shirt. More likely she's going to favour towards AEW. Like, as Ollie said, what did you think was going to happen?
You cannot blame someone for not liking Raw or SmackDown.
Absolutely
not. If any one of us on WrestleTalk said, you know what, I'm just not going to watch Raw or SmackDown anymore, I'll go, well, you kind of have to. Yeah. But at the same time, I'll go, I understand.
I just understand. Yeah.
But NXT and AEW, those are exciting things. I'm sure you'll both watch them together. But I also, you know, you have a very shared hobby. Maybe you're feeling... You don't want to lose your buddy to watch Raw and SmackDown with. That's totally understandable. But, yeah, sometimes you just have to let these people fly away. To let go of that means you love them more because it's actually, you know, 5 hours of largely inconsistent, slow wrestling. Isn't that great? She could learn a language. That's what I always think. If I just learn a language for 5 hours a week instead of watching Raw and SmackDown and pay-per-views, I'd be fluent in French.
Yeah.
I think I'd go for.
I sometimes think when I finish watching an episode of Raw, which is a 3-hour long show, I sometimes think, I could have watched all of the first season of Spaced in the time it took me to watch this one show.
How many episodes of Friends?
Well, sometimes there's the opening 20-minute promos. That's an episode of Friends.
Yeah.
It's an episode of Friends right there.
Good grief.
A whole half an hour's worth, minus the ad breaks, of content for one Triple H promo. That's the way you guys look at it sometimes. This email comes in on the NXT subject, on the WWE not plugging NXT debate that you and I have had over the past few weeks, where NXT is going to the USA Network tomorrow, or tonight even.
Yeah.
And it feels like WWE couldn't care less. And they've done it for purely cynical reasons. I mean, I'm not saying it's purely cynical reasons, but it certainly feels like it's purely cynical reasons.
I also think Triple H just wants to have it to himself. I think he's like, nah, I don't want the Raw and SmackDown. This is my playbox.
Well, Gary emails in to say, hey, Luke and the gang, I've been listening to / watching you guys for the last few years. I want to say first, thanks for the consistent content. It's been great to see the team grow, and the nasty, oops, I mean lovely boys, kept me company more than ever recently during a slobber knocker battle with testicular cancer. Ooh. So genuinely, thank you all. Anyway, I've been listening to the recent chat about WWE not pushing NXT on USA. At first, I couldn't have agreed more how ridiculous a decision this is. However, we're talking about a company that literally shoves anything remotely related to growing their presence / brand so deep down our throats, we all momentarily channel our inner Riley Reid. The show going on a major network primetime, surely they would maximize.
You are the smuttiest channel, Luke Owen. This is purely you.
How was it me?
Oh, yeah. She's not my type. This is I didn't know Riley Reid existed before you brought her up like 2 and a bit years ago. And she's somehow become the porn reference of choice for the entire business.
We should really reach out to her. She's basically become a mascot for the channel. Mm. The show going out on a major network primetime, surely they would maximize the number of viewers to attract advertisers. But, you know, because, well, money. So why on earth has there, until Raw, only been any push for it, brackets other than the tweets on the Tron, of the network NXT pay-per-views, which is already the captured audience? The more I think about it, it kept coming back to the same assessment. So here goes, let me know what you think. WWE have made a conscious decision to minimize the push of NXT on USA for two reasons. Number one, so if they do better than AEW, it's clear they didn't even build NXT, and this will discredit AEW just as they begin their journey, ultimately creating worry and panic in the IWC, AEW's core audience. This could then bleed into AEW backstage and cause some unrest, not huge as Tony Cody seemed to be switched onto to start hotshot booking like WWE. Number two, if they get hammered in the ratings, they can hugely play it down, and the hardcore WWE fans can argue NXT audience is very organic versus a year build of AEW on TV. It feels like a very pragmatic, tactical approach, which is a no-lose for WWE, as the other element of this is that NXT will be more profitable with the talent getting better contracts and more likely to stay. I actually, from a business perspective, can see a downside to how they've approached it until now. There's a high chance that USA asked them to push it, and that's why last night on Raw, we saw more of a push for NXT on USA. Apologies for the long email. Conscious it may work against me, as the only other time I sent something in was a Rusev hey, following you saying they dried up. Pretty sure I heard it open the next day and be like, nope, that's far too long, and likely I'll never read it there. But actually, again, feel free to bastardize it or not. It should at least give you a good laugh. Take care and remain consistent at all times. And he has sent a Rusev hey email, which I think I did read. I read through it again. It sounds very familiar, but I can't remember if it was just a case of I saw it and was like, oh my God, that's really long. I haven't got time to read it. But so we've got a few minutes left before we have to go live to record the main show. What are your thoughts on these two points?
I mean, they're both very similar, right? They're both very similar points. And that is essentially WWE intentionally self-sabotaging so they can say, oh, well, we never really gave it our all anyway if AEW beats them in the ratings.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that holds up really, because why would they have done this in the first place? If they're of that mindset, why even counter program them with NXT in the first place?
Yeah.
And if you look at the track record of WWE and their business practices, they are aggressively preemptive. You look at what's happened to the British wrestling scene.
What are you talking about, Ollie? Brit wrestling's not dead. Progress kept telling me that all of Sunday.
Sorry, Pete Dunne. That's why you move into the States. So that, you know, there was an inkling that something, a little thing in another country might become bigger. So they came over here, started up NXT UK, invested in a load of promotions.
With no plan.
With no plans. Yep, they did that. And that, you know, that was purely a preemptive move against this 2-hour special of WOS wrestling on ITV 2 weeks later. Mm-hmm. That was a complete panic move. So if they did all of that and really pushed it on the chance that this thing might get big, and you look how big AEW is already, and you're thinking, well, maybe they're just setting themselves up for this very minor bit of PR practice a bit down the line. I think that is very far-fetched, like the Pokemon.
I think really in this case, this was done as a preemptive thing. And I think the Meltzer had this right all along, which is that it's not NXT's not moving to USA to beat it in the ratings. It's being moved to siphon viewers away. It's even if they don't, even if they just capture or just take across a fraction of the audience, that's a win because it's less people watching AEW, less people buying their pay-per-views. That's the way I look at it. Anyway, that was what's going to bring us to a close on this. Thank you all for all of your emails. We've got some great stuff to get into. We've got some WrestleTalk Get Betters that I'm really looking forward to get into, which we'll do on tomorrow's podcast, which will be... the NXT review. The big NXT review, because it's going live on the USA Network, which is very, very exciting. Thank you so much for listening. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your dollar a month trial today at shopify.com/records.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.